This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about Him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It's probably one of the areas where Christian parents feel the least adequate. It's probably why Christian parents feel that their performance in this area is so inadequate. And it's definitely a source of guilt. Now, the answer to the guilt that Christian parents feel because they don't open the Bible with their kids, they didn't begin early, it's too late to start now, they think, or maybe they did begin early, but it just kind of fell by the wayside the older and busier those kids got. The answer is not try harder. The answer is to, well, begin where all of the Christian life begins on Sunday morning. And working from the divine service on Sunday morning, from the forgiveness of sins that is received there for Christ's sake, and from the word that is preached there, it flows out into the home. Because Christian devotion is far more than just opening your Bible and singing a Christian song. It is about the entire life, the entire shape of the Christian's family life, shaped by God's word on Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about Christian devotion in the home in the final part of our series on Christ-centered parenting with Dr. Gary Zeroth, here in the first hour of Issues Etc., live this Tuesday, the 2nd of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Dr. Mike Horton will join us. We'll talk about the worldview of Anders Breivik, the Norway terrorist, and its consequences. And interestingly enough, he shares that worldview with many Americans. They don't take it in the direction of violence, but their view of Christianity is remarkably the same. And then we'll round off today's Issues Etc. Talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College about Ramadan, which began, I believe, at sundown yesterday. It's an odd thing. Ramadan jumps all over the calendar, so we get a chance to talk about it at odd times during the year. Today, it's in August. This year, it's an August holiday. And so what are Muslims celebrating? What are they doing during Ramadan? Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave your questions or comments on Christian parenting in general, because we're concluding our series on Christ-centered parenting for Dr. Gary Zeroth at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Gary Zeroth is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota. He's adjunct professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he joins us for the last part of our series on Christ-centered parenting. Dr. Zeroth, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be back.
Let's start this where it should start, and you ended our last conversation this way so nicely, that the Christian life that is found in the family begins, is nurtured, flows out of, is rooted in the life that is found on Sunday morning, where that family gathers with others around the Word and Sacraments. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yeah, the life that we share together is always a looking forward to a celebration. As a family, we have grown accustomed to looking forward to that worship service on Sunday, because there we will encounter Christ and His Word, and Christ will come to us. As Christians, that's what we should look forward to, not only once a week, but on a daily basis. it's kind of an eschatological, an end times way of looking at the church, that one day we are all going to be together as a family in Christ, worshiping at the throne of the Lamb in heaven. And we all look forward to that time. In the meantime, as we are still here on earth, we get glimpses of the heavenly celebrations when we gather together around God's Word. And certainly, Todd, we can do that every day. It's modeled for us on Sunday with the rhythm of the divine service, and that rhythm of the divine service can also be modeled on a daily basis within the home.
If you would, just a word of caution about allowing that, this good thing that is connected to Sunday morning celebration of Word and Sacrament, a word of caution, if you would, about not allowing it to become a substitute for Sunday morning. Well, we're having our devotions. Why go to church?
Well, again, there in church we encounter Christ through His Word and Sacrament. We get to hear the Word expounded upon by our pastors who have been trained, who can exegete the text, who can bring us the truths of God's Word. We can be sure and certain that God is there and He is present. Sometimes, if we're left, you know, to our own devices, to other materials, we're not always sure that what we're hearing or reading is the truth of God's gospel or what He would want us to know. And also we find, I guess it's the Acts 2:42 model, is that this was, I want to say, the habit of the early church was to gather together with the whole body to worship and celebrate God's Word and Sacraments.
You say that there, you call them kind of four keys to, as you say, and I like the way you put this, the practice of the faith at home. Take us through them one by one, if you would, Dr. Zeroth.
Yeah, these are ancient four keys that, as you search the scriptures, have been practiced for a very long time. And there's many materials on this nowadays, and they can be found in several books and in websites. But simply, they are caring conversation, family devotions, family service, and family rituals and traditions. These four keys, as they're commonly called, help us to participate in the means of grace that God comes to us through His Word. It enables us as a family to extend God's kingdom, His love, His saving work to the world around us. And these keys can help us focus our attention to help us strengthen our faith in the life of not only individuals, but the family as a whole. And it extends out into the community as we do that. The first one, the caring conversations. What this means is that we take the time that God has allowed for us, usually on a daily basis, to sit down with one another and to give our full attention to that person or to those people. We can share our hurts, our joys, our concerns, our values, and especially share our faith with each other. Now, the thing is, the key to this is that it does require time. We have to be available in order to listen and in order to speak to each other. So, in a way, Todd, this to me, this is the holy ground of family life, is to share that conversation with each other. In some households, in our household, we have this time around the dinner table. As a pastor, I can say that I really covet that time when we come together for the late meal and we eat together, and I get to ask the kids about their day. They get to share their ups and downs, things that went well, things that didn't go so well that day, and I get to share those things with them too. And we get to listen to each other, and talk to one another and share our faith in that way. For other families, it might be late at night before the kids go to bed, or if you have teenagers, it might be really late into the night when they can start to talk to mom and dad or mom or dad. That's the first one. It means taking time. Sadly, our world today, we don't spend enough time with each other, and I think even technology draws us further away from each other, having those face-to-face conversations in the same location. I think last time we left off, the next key is family devotions. I left off with talking about three books, and the hook was I started with the first book, the Bible, but I still had other two books I didn't mention. Well, let's begin with the Holy Scriptures. That would be our main resource to share within our household and with our children and our spouses. And there's all kinds of resources to enable us to enhance that study. There's commentaries, there's concordances, there's age-appropriate Bibles, many good ones. And simply for children that can share the story of God and all the biblical stories that children would need to learn. Concordia Publishing House prints many, many good resources. We in our family have used Archbooks, Little Visits with God. Right now, they recently produced the Story Bible and even my first Bible storybook. They're all age-appropriate. They use pictures, simple words. Some of them, the better kind, even have questions that the parents can ask, a short prayer at the end of the Bible story. And there's many good resources out there.
Let's take a break right here. When we come back, we'll pick up on this list of books, beginning with the Scriptures, and we'll find out, under the category of family devotions, the other kind of must-reads that a family needs around practicing the faith at home. Part three, and the conclusion of our series with Dr. Gary Zeroth on Christ-centered parenting. I invite your questions and your comments. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 2nd of August, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or leave a question or a comment for Dr. Zeroth on any part of our series with him on Christ-centered parenting at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put them into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church. And yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota, adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're concluding our three-part weekly series on Christ-centered parenting. When we left off there, Dr. Zeroth, you were still talking about the Bible as the primary book for the family, practicing the faith at home. And it comes in many forms. It's accessible in many forms, as you were describing for the break. Pick up where you left off.
Yeah, there are many forms, and they do need to be age-appropriate. And as the children grow in age, obviously there will be less pictures and more words, and the prayers become more lengthy. But there's so many good resources out there to assist and aid parents in the task of helping them learn the Bible and learn the great and main stories of the Scriptures. If you walk into my office, Todd, I only have three books on my desk. And when people ask me about it, I get to tell them the story of how Luther thought about many books. And, of course, I have many books, and sometimes I think I have too many books. When I start to read too many books, I forget what I read. But as Luther would say, a few books learned well would be of great benefit. And I've always thought about that, and I thought if I could choose only a few books that I could read and reread and relearn, what would they be? Well, we started off with the Holy Scriptures, number one. The second one, a good guess by many, would be the Small Catechism. And, of course, we use that extensively already in our church, in our parochial school. But why not take that book and use it at home, as it was originally intended for the head of the house to use and to teach his children? I remember what Luther said in the preface to the Large Catechism. He would say something like, Catechism study is a most effective help against the devil and the world and our flesh and all our evil thoughts. It helps to be occupied with God's Word, so to speak, and to meditate on it daily. And again, there's also many good resources out there that are age-appropriate for children of a younger age that could start to learn the Catechism and the six chief parts that can be taught at home by mom and her dad. So those are the first two books I would recommend to be used in the home. And the third one would be the hymnal. The hymnal, again, originally was called the prayer book to be used also as a resource in the home to learn how to form our prayers and to help our prayer life by singing the hymns and by reading the Psalms at home. Again, I would recommend that for those families who are not musically inclined, and I've been very blessed to have a musical wife who has been able to play the piano and sing to and with our children, and I thank God every day for that gift because I simply don't have that gift. But without my wife, I would highly recommend for parents to obtain music, to obtain CDs, iTunes, whatever is helpful to play in the house so that the children can learn the hymns and the songs of the church that way. I was looking through my library today, and I encountered something that we used when our kids were young. It was a wonderful resource that was produced by St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne. And Cantor Richard Resch helped produce this, but he had his children's choirs sing the hymns of the church. And I think that children's voices go a long way in helping other children to sing. And the one I have in my hand is called And My Mouth Will Declare Your Praise, hymns and liturgy sung by the children's choir of this particular church. And some of these hymns, Now Thank We All Our God, All Depends on All Our Possessing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, Bless the Children of Our God, All Praise to Thee, My God This Night, and the list goes on. Great ancient hymns that we know will be around for a very long time. And as you play those on a constant basis, the children will listen and learn to sing and learn the words. Todd, I'm so amazed at the end of a vacation Bible school, at the end of that 5 days or at the end of the week, all those songs the kids have learned, they can sing. It was repetition. They learned them every day and sang them often throughout the day, and by the end of the week, they knew those words by heart, and they could sing them. I think that's the key and the goal with the hymnal is as we play these songs and as they listen to them from a very young age and as we repeat these songs, they will learn them. And I think you recently had Kelly Klagas on your show, and she has recently written a book about teaching hymns to young children, another excellent resource that I have seen recently. And as they grow older, of course, we begin to use that hymnal more pointedly. And in that hymnal, the Lutheran Service book that we have is a wonderful resource to use at home. Not only the hymns, but the daily lectionary, all the prayers that are listed that we can practice the life of prayer with, and so many other good resources in the hymnal. So those are the three books, and as we constantly use those three and we repeat using them, I think that's a better way to go. As Luther would say, using a minimal amount of books, but using them well and using them often will go a long way in the education of our youth and children.
We're really talking about, and this isn't all there is to it, but it is also about providing our children first with the vocabulary of the church. This is the life of the church we're talking about here, and then with that vocabulary comes that way of thinking too. The language that we are taught also shapes the way that we think theologically, think about ourselves, think about the world around us, doesn't it?
And that's the great thing about our hymnology is those words are often taken right out of Scripture, or at the very least are a paraphrase of Scripture. And as we sing the words, they do become a part of us. And we are fed in ways that we don't quite comprehend as we sing those words. But yes, the Holy Spirit uses those words in the lives of even the youngest. And so that is the second key to those four keys I mentioned, is to have conversations with your children, to incorporate daily devotions with your children and with your spouse. And to me, I think the second key is hard to begin and develop within the family. We simply have had not models from the past to draw from. And what I try to tell parents, Todd, is that it's simply a good thing just to get started. If you can pray with your children at night, and here's some resources, here's some prayers, and one practice I enjoy is before they go to sleep, before they pray the "I lay me down, now I lay me down to sleep," cross their foreheads with the sign of the cross and assure them that they are a beloved child of God, that they are baptized, and that God dearly loves them. What a great thought to leave a child before they go to sleep at the end of the day. That would be the fourth key. Some of the rituals and traditions that we all have as families to incorporate something as simple as the sign of the cross to remind them of their baptism would be a wonderful ritual or tradition to incorporate. Some of them are saying table grace, bedtime prayers, greeting one another every day. Christmas time, we decorate and put up trees. A ritual would be maybe reading the gospel story, the Christmas story from Luke 2 before you open your presents. There's a whole list of examples that we can incorporate on a daily, weekly, monthly, and a yearly basis as we live our lives as Christians. So the last key, if we have time, is family service. Incorporating family service type projects in our family life at home, going down to the church on a Monday night and helping serve food to the neighborhood, to those people who need help, serving a neighbor when they're on vacation, teaching our children to maybe cut their lawn while they're away and not expecting any recompense in return. Taking small missionary trips as a family and seeing other cultures. We're going to the inner city and helping people in that way. These four keys, as we begin to incorporate them in our family life, will go a long way in helping us to bring Christ, to bring His love, to bring His service into our lives to help others. Another thing is, what time do you do family devotions? Here's something I've practiced most of my pastoral life, Todd, is I've got this from Luther. he took all of those office hours as a monk, and he kind of narrowed them down basically into 3 hours. Matins, which means early morning, vespers, early evening, and compline at the end of the day. I've tried to incorporate this. It's never been perfect. There are days we miss our own family devotions. We pick it up the next day. But when I get up early in the morning, I have my own personal devotion time just by myself. Usually I get to the office or find a quiet place in the home and read the scriptures and or read a book. Vespers is the time I can share a devotion with the children and with the whole family together. We find it right after we eat. We bring out the books, we bring out the devotions, we bring out the hymnal, and we study and sing together and pray together.
Let's take another break right here and pick up right there when we come back, kind of in the nitty-gritty of the life that is lived in the home, living the Christian faith in the home. Notice how it is always rooted in the Word of God. It always begins there. It is the center of the Christian family's life. We'll be right back. Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-lifers were standing outside an abortion mill in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when a woman saw them and pulled into the parking lot. Pro-abortion woman went ballistic, beating the pro-lifers and shouting obscenities. She used her car keys to inflict a large gash in the head of a male pro-lifer, which paramedics said needed stitches to close. As the woman walked away, a female pro-lifer said, "You're full of guilt." To which the assailant shouted back at the top of her lungs, "Yes, I am. You have no idea how much it hurts." But that's where she's wrong. Pro-lifers do know how much it hurts. Many have walked in her shoes, and it's what motivates them to be at abortion mills trying to save babies and their mothers from the pain of abortion. Let's all pray for these hurting mothers as they grieve for their babies.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're concluding our three-part weekly series on Christ-centered parenting with Dr. Gary Zeroth, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota, and adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In the second hour of the program, we'll be talking with Dr. Mike Horton about the worldview of Norway terrorist Anders Breivik and its consequences and its affinity for a worldview shared by many nominal Christians in the United States, the confusion of Christendom with Christianity. And then we'll talk about Ramadan, which begins for the Muslim world this August. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest for the last few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, August the 2nd. Dr. Zeroth, you were talking about the timing of these things, how Luther kind of boiled down the long hours that he learned as a monk in the convent for prayer and meditation to three, a time in the morning, a time in the middle of the day, or we should say time in the morning, time in the evening, and then time as we're going to bed. You said Vespers, that in-between time, is really kind of a ideal time for the family, around the family meal, for these things we've been talking about.
Yeah, it works for our family, and it has for a while, but it may not work for every family. Every family has to determine when the best time is to get together. It may not be at the evening meal. It might be another time. Maybe it is at the close of the day, maybe early morning. Who knows? Every family has to determine that. For us and for others that I know, it does work when you sit down and eat. Some people might be listening and laughing and saying, well, when do people ever get together and eat anymore? But that might be true. It's just the way our society is and the way students and high schoolers and the work schedules go. But you have to be intentional. If you can't do it every day, then maybe every other day. You have to be intentional and pick those times when you can meet and talk. I can't express how important that is. The last office hour is Compline, or at the close of the day, usually before just before you go to bed. It's a time where my wife and I can sit down and study together and pray. So that's worked for me. It's by myself in the morning, with my family early evening, and with my spouse at the end of the day. Something I've incorporated and used. Again, it's not always perfect. Sometimes we miss. Sometimes it's very, very short as the day goes. But it has worked as best as it could for us anyway.
Now, one of the things that I have noted, having been a parent now for over 20 years, is that it is, when they're young, you feel like you have no time, but you actually have the most time with them. As they grow older, you realize how much time you used to have, but your time with them grows shorter and shorter. You do have to catch as catch can a lot of times, especially in the teenage years and the late teenage years, and then they're off to college. And then that time for many parents is up, for the at least with respect to parents and children. Talk about the issue of the wisdom in starting early when you have the luxury of that maximum amount of time with your children.
Yeah, they are more of a captive audience. That's true. I also want to caution something, is that for those parents who maybe didn't have the advantage of starting early, and maybe they have older children or middle schoolers or high schoolers right now, and there might be parents who are grieving at the loss of that opportunity when they were young. And in my experience, Todd, there's many like that. And then I simply tell them that you still have influence in their life. They might be in high school. They might be getting married. They might be starting a family of their own. But now you have an influence in their life at this stage. They are always your children. And God might be blessing you with grandchildren now and into the future. So, now's the day of salvation. Now's the day to begin, and don't grieve the past. But for those who do have younger children, yes, they just soak up stuff like a sponge. Everything that they learn is just soaked up. That's why repetition, memory work, reading the scriptures, the Bible stories when they're young, does stick with them, and it does can produce a harvest later on in life that we can't see at the moment.
Now, we do have listeners who either are not married or do not have children, but you say every adult, and I think this is proven true, every adult, whether they have children or not, is in fact a spiritual parent to the younger generation. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think we tend to forget all the wonderful resources we have as a community of faith within the church. I look around our congregation and the ones that I have served in the past, and we have so much wisdom with our older generation that we have not tapped into. I've served four congregations, and God has not called me close to my own family. We've always been so far away, but we've always somehow been adopted. My own family has been adopted by these grandparent types in every church that I have served, and we didn't ask for it. They just kind of adopted us. And when I'd be up preaching, and my wife would be playing the organ, our children would be sitting in the pew with these grandparent models. And we are so thankful for that. We do have these aunt and uncle, grandparent models in our congregation. We need to use them more than we do. We can have them as mentors. We can help them make contact with the young families. We can help them to teach lessons for us, maybe in the parochial school. Visit the first grade classroom. Tell us about their life experience and their faith in Christ. And especially our teenagers. I would love for our grandparents in our church to make those connections with our teenagers and help them along in their struggles and their life as well. We can always do a better job in tapping that resource within our own communities.
So let's talk about, to kind of recap where we have been throughout the course of our conversation, what underlies everything we've been talking about. We began this way, with the greatest need that our children have.
Yeah, the greatest need that our children have is to know Jesus Christ, to know who he is and what he has done for them, to know that Christ has come and died on the cross to forgive all their sins and raised from the dead so that one day we'll all be together in heaven. The greatest need is to know that and to remember that and to constantly know that fact. That is the parent's job, is to constantly bring that gospel message into the life of their children. Secondarily and associated with that knowledge, Todd, is that they know they're loved unconditionally, even as we are loved unconditionally by our Savior, that we can extend that love to our children, the love of Christ to our children, that they are loved despite who they are and despite what they do. They know that they are brought up in the context of love, that they are loved unconditionally despite being a sinner. Those two things they need to know, they need to be reminded of, even as we all do. And it's a constant process, a daily process that we need to share with each other.
Someone says, I am a Christian parent, but when it comes time to actually do this, I don't know where to begin. You talked earlier today about those three books, having those as guides here, which I think is a great place to begin. How should it start? If a Christian father says, I want to start tonight after we're done eating dinner, I have the books. What do I do, Pastor?
Well, yeah, you'd have to have some preparation. Usually I would hold a class or I'd visit these individuals by themselves, and I would kind of map it out for them and say, here's the steps you need to take. Sometimes, as I've done before, I go right into the house myself and say, I'm going to model this for you, and then I'm going to hand it off to Dad or to Mom, usually to Dad. And I say, here's how it goes. And usually I get invited over to a lot of meals that way, Todd, just to let you know, and because I say I'll do it right after dinner. So it's a good way to do it. But if you can't visit every home, obviously you can hold those kind of classes, information kind of things, put those hints in the church bulletin, send things home on a weekly basis for parents to read. Here's how we begin. Here's some prayers you can practice. Here's where you can begin in the Bible. Here's some easy songs or hymns that you can begin together and memorize. And here's a tape or a CD or some music to help you get started. Here's some bedtime prayers that you can just pray. Here's some blessings that are printed out that you can just simply read and say with your children at night. Just little helps like that to get them started. And if they do it once a day or if they do it once a week, great. What a wonderful start. What a wonderful beginning. We are here as the church, as a church family, to help parents to get started any way that we can do.
Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with him on this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Zeroth is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota, adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll take your questions or comments on Christ-Centered Parenting, wrapping up our series with him on the other side of this break, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest. We're concluding our three-part series on Christ-centered parenting on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 2nd. In the second hour of the program, we'll talk with Dr. Mike Horton about the worldview of the Norway terrorist Anders Breivik. Has less to do with Christianity than it does with Christendom, and has more in line with, well, actually, Friedrich Nietzsche and the nihilism of that view than really anything remotely Christian in the theological sense. We'll see what Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn has to say about that. Then we'll talk about Ramadan, which begins this month. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West, will be our guest. This comes from Jeremiah, who listens in Hawaii. Dr. Zeroth, he says, what advice would you give to families who have vocations which call for lots of relocation, for example, the military, there are others as well, when considering issues of baptismal sponsorship and or mentorship? That takes us back to an earlier conversation. How would you respond to his question?
Yeah, it might depend on where they are relocated, but if it's stateside and there's a Lutheran church in the area, obviously you want to connect yourself with that church in the area and go to the pastor and ask for some mentors, people who have the knowledge and wisdom and maturity to help you at that time in your life. If you're positioned in another place, hopefully there's a chaplain nearby that will encourage you and support you that way. Obviously, friends that share your same convictions can help you in that way as well. Sponsorship should be more of a local thing anyway. When we choose our sponsors in our church, we don't always think that personal accountability, I don't want to use the word accountability in a law-oriented way, but the personal support and encouragement needs to be there in a personal, close way, rather than someone living 1,000 or 2,000 miles away who may not have a direct influence in that family's life. So, yeah, certainly a tough task, but hopefully the church is there, the people of God are there in that place that can aid and help that family.
Someone might just be joining us here at the end of our series and the end of our conversation on Christ-centered parenting, and they might be curious, how is it that a distinctly Lutheran approach to Christ-centered parenting differs from what someone might hear on Focus on the Family or other parenting slash family shows?
Yeah, it begins as where we started a couple of weeks ago, is that it begins with the reality of original sin and the practice of infant baptism. In Reformed theology, the family serves as the basis for the practice, in some cases, of infant baptism, which then serves as the confirmation or seal of the covenant relationship which the child of God has through the family. Now, as valuable as the family is in our Lutheran theology, it is never the reason for baptizing children or including them in the kingdom of God. Baptism in Lutheran theology is not the confirmation of an already existing state or relationship between the children and the parents, but it is a bestowal of the grace that is needed for salvation. The advantage that children have within a Christian family is always the accessibility of the Word of God and its influence. It was Luther himself who never saw the family as a competing church, but as a nucleus of like-minded believers carrying out their calling as confessing Christians. Sure. So it all stems from, I guess I could say that for the Reformed branch of Christendom, it is the child's relationship with the parents and not necessarily faith which is the saving factor. For Lutherans, it is the family that provides the structure of salvation, but the family is no guarantee of salvation.
And I think I would add to that that a lot of Christian parenting materials approach it as though it is the parent's responsibility to kind of take this formless piece of clay, spiritually speaking, kind of keep them on the straight and narrow until they can make up their own mind and dedicate their lives to Jesus, something along those lines. Again, baptism is the biblical answer to that, and the parent's task is simply to do what it is that baptism calls for, instruction in that Christian faith.
Yeah, God himself gives explicit instruction in his word that children should be given a Christian training, not merely a Christian education, but instruction in the doctrines of the Christian faith. But it's a Christian training. It's a bringing up in the Christian way. It's the entire life of the child being always under the direct influence of the Spirit of God working through his precious word.
We started today talking, and we've touched on it several times in our conversation, on that sense of inadequacy that every parent has when it comes to the awesome duty of training their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it is the greatest duty that is bestowed upon parents in this world by God. What does the gospel have to say to what is kind of perpetual, perennial guilt that parents feel in this area?
Yeah, and it is perennial, and it is widespread. What parent, what father, what mother hasn't felt guilt over not being a good parent or doing what they should be doing or neglecting their duties? It's a tremendous, tremendous guilt trip. But this is why it's important for parents also to know that they are forgiven in Christ. There is no such thing as a perfect home. No such thing as a perfect child, no such thing as a perfect parent. These are oxymorons. So that's why it is absolutely crucial for all of us to have Christ at the center of our lives. With Christ there, our mistakes are healed over, grudges and problems are forgiven and forgotten. I was thinking about my text for this past Sunday in the feeding of the 5,000. Todd, I think when parents listen to instructions, they think, I have so much to do, and I simply cannot do all of this. There's lots in my home I cannot repair. I'm a terrible handyman when it comes to fixing things. And as a pastor, I know I cannot heal broken hearts. I cannot open closed minds. I cannot wrong the rights of people. That's not my job. That is Christ's job. Nobody can do these things. And so when we come, when parents come and ask the question, what am I supposed to do? It's kind of like the disciples this past Sunday when they cried out, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we've got to work with. And so I tell parents, when life seems too big and the problems and issues in our lives seem too big and insurmountable, think of what Jesus asked the disciples to do. He said, bring your problems to me. Bring your issues to me. I want you to bring your children to me. I want you to bring their future to me, just as he did with those disciples and feeding those 5,000. He whispers to all of us to bring your children and your family to me, and he will bless them. If I can narrow it down to that, if our job is to bring our children to Christ, then let us all support and encourage one another in the church to help each other do that.
Dr. Gary Zeroth is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota. He is adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It has been a great pleasure speaking with you, and thank you for all the time that you've devoted to us and to our listeners during this series on Christ-centered parenting.
I appreciate it, Todd, and the Lord's blessings to you, and God be with you and with Jeff as well.
Folks, if you enjoyed our series on Christ-centered parenting, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Remember, no gift is too small. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also donate securely at our website, issuesetc.org. As always, thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the challenging summer months. In the second hour of the program, straight ahead, Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn is going to join us. Much has been said in the press about the Christianity or the non-Christianity, about the fundamentalism or the non-fundamentalism of Anders Breivik, the Norway terrorist who took over 80 lives several weeks ago. What was in his mind? Well, he put it in his manifesto, and if you read the thing, you find out that he does not believe himself to be a Christian in any conventional or historic or orthodox sense. He's redefined the term, but he's not alone. There are others in the world, a lot of Christians here in the United States, who've also allowed the term to be redefined. A Christianity without a real Christ at its center, a Christianity without creeds, a Christianity that is more culture than anything else, a strange affinity with the views of Anders Breivik, the Norway terrorist. We'll talk about that with Dr. Mike Horton right after the break. Then Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. We'll find out what it is Muslims are beginning to celebrate and will be celebrating for the next lunar month as they celebrate Ramadan. Well, I've said it before, I will say it again, the best thing I ever heard as a Christian parent, and I remind myself every day, is that God, in Jesus Christ, loves my kids more than I do. Remember that. We'll be right back with Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.